This important podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store, offering a wide selection of prepping and survival products, including nutritional solutions and storable certified organic superfoods. Check out our full selection at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. Thank you for your support. This is an urgent podcast update from Mike Adams about your survival if you live in America. Thank you for joining me. I'm the publisher of naturalnews.com, and I've recently published a story there that's really important. Prepare for Iran to activate terror cells across America and to target the infrastructure. And in this article, I've gone through quite a lot of details about the infrastructure vulnerabilities, including the water supply, food systems, fuel, electricity, and so on. Now, here's where we are right now. And to summarize it, Trump just made America a battlefield for World War III. Now, regardless of what you think about Trump's decision to strike, what's his name, Soleimani, and some of the other leaders of the Iranian, you know, militant groups, and sure, you can say, hey, it's good that Trump is finally standing up against Iran instead of going along with them and appeasing them and paying them billions in cash like Obama did. I get that argument. But on the downside, Trump did just start World War III. And you can't reframe that. I know he says that he prevented a war. I think he started a war, because there are Iranian terror cells that have been embedded in American society, living in cities all across America. I've published a map of that. They're all over the country. They're even in the Midwest. They're in Colorado. They're in California. They're in Michigan. They're in Florida. They're in Texas. They're in Oklahoma. I mean, they're all across the country. And some of these terror cells have been living lives waiting for the activation code, essentially, an activation statement that would activate them to carry out their tasks to help destroy America. And this has been their life's mission. And they are sleeper cells. That's how they're typically known. And you've seen this depicted in Hollywood and movies and so on, sleeper cells, maybe old Soviet Union, Russian sleeper cells back in the 70s and 80s. Well, today there are sleeper cells who are radical Islamic militant groups. And they train and prepare for the day when they are told to attack the power grid or the water supply or fuel refineries, or, you know, just put on a suicide vest and walk into a crowd in San Francisco and detonate. The war is coming here to America. And all of you who live in America, you are now in a battlefield. And that's the underlying message of this podcast. I'm going to give you some specifics about what is likely to happen and how you can stay safer against this threat of terrorism on U.S. soil that has been unleashed. Now, the conventional wisdom on this analysis is that the terror attacks against the United States will take place mostly in the Middle East. And in some sense, they've already begun. The rocket attacks of the Green Zone in Iraq, for example, the area surrounding the U.S. embassy and so on. And those attacks have begun. And we know that Iran does have capabilities to attack U.S. strategic military targets in that region. However, that is not the limit of what Iran wants to do. And sadly, America's infrastructure is shockingly vulnerable to determined terrorists who are willing to sacrifice their own lives in order to carry out mayhem in American cities. And one of the first points in my analysis is that cities are the death traps. Cities are the areas that offer the population density that would achieve, quote, success in the minds of terrorists, because they are engaged in what's called asymmetric warfare, which means they need to have one or two terrorists kill 100 or 200 Americans, or cause fear, cause chaos, cause psychological, havoc. That's the goal of their terrorism. Well, where do you achieve that kind of asymmetry in casualty rates? The only place that they can do that is in a city. If they go out and attack some farmer, you know, it's not front page news. But if they blow up, a cafe or something with 100 people dead, that's the result they wish to achieve: mass terror, on a scale that can only be achieved in areas that have very high population density, which are the cities. So cities are going to be ground zero for all this. If you live in a city, I hope you understand you're now living in a war zone. Now, if you live in Chicago, you're already living in a war zone. Or if you live in LA, you're already in a war zone. So just add this to it. Now, in addition to the MS-13 gangs and the drug dealers and the child traffickers, now you got, you know, radical Islamic Iran-funded terror cells to think about too, on top of everything else. Not a good time to be a cop, by the way. I mean, I thank cops for your frontline service. I support men and women in blue. I'm just saying, it's not a great time to be one, because you're dealing with a whole new level of threat that maybe you weren't dealing with before. Secondly, the second important point in all of this is that America's infrastructure is just surprisingly vulnerable. For example, the power grid was constructed without any anticipation that someone would want to take it down. Because if you're an American living in America, you've got electricity, pretty convenient, right? You can run hair dryers and washing machines and computers. Why would you want to take down the power grid? Well, no sane American would want to. But as a result, the power grid has very few defenses. And this was even talked about in the context of civil war, how easy it is for any group to take out a power substation or a power generation facility that feeds power into a major city. And it's well known, I'm not saying anything new here, but it's well known that long-range rifle fire can strike components of electrical substations. I'm not going to say which components, but certain components can be hit with, you know, 50 cal long-range rounds fired from 2 miles away. And some of these components are pretty big targets, by the way, so they don't even need to be very accurate in terms of the rifle fire. And with the failure of that component, it takes down that substation, stops that power from going into the city. If attacks were coordinated among multiple teams to attack, let's say, 10 power substations around Los Angeles, that would plunge the vast majority of that city into darkness. And when you have no power, it sets off chaos. And then there's a chain reaction effect here. When the chaos happens, especially if it's in multiple cities, people start to become dominated psychologically by fear. And when they have fear, that counteracts the faith that they currently have in the stock market. And that's what's keeping the stock market up as a bubble, is all of this irrational faith, what's called irrational exuberance in the stock market. Well, when there's fear dominating people because they're living in the dark now, they've been thrown back into the Stone Ages or whatever. You know, you don't have running water, you don't have electricity, you don't have fuel, nothing works in society. Now you're fearful, and this can affect the stock market. And if the stock market has a major crash or correction because of this, then that could cause Trump to lose the election, which he currently looks likely to win for a variety of reasons, notably the fact that the Democrats can't seem to field a candidate who makes any sense at all, or can even speak with rational words like Joe Biden. Dude has no idea where he is. He's like the Alzheimer's candidate, sadly. But the point is that Trump may have just set into motion the events that will remove him from office, as I just described. But until that happens, throughout 2020, we all need to be prepared for attacks on infrastructure in the United States. And those attacks may take place through multiple vectors. Some of them are physical vectors, such as what I just mentioned, someone shooting out, you know, power grid substations. But they could also be chemical vectors. Terrorists could target the water supplies of cities like Phoenix, Tucson, or Los Angeles itself, which is fed all this water from outside. Water has to be pumped over a mountain to get to LA. And it turns out that water comes to LA through open canals, canals that can be easily poisoned with all sorts of toxic heavy metals or toxic chemicals, things that can really harm the population. And there are no protections against that, no protections at all. In fact, you know, what's interesting to me is I did a film called Biosludged. And in the film, one of the key scientists, who was a former EPA scientist, who actually resigned from the EPA because of all the corruption there, he told me, and this was on camera, he told me that the way that biosludge is handled, which is they take all the raw sewage from every city, and then they just dry it out, and they heat it a little bit, but not much, and then they just truck it and dump it out on city parks and farms and fields all around the city. that the way a terrorist could take advantage of that is they can just drive up to literally any sewer, like storm drain sewer that goes into the municipal sewage system, you know, like a manhole cover that goes into a sewage pipe, drive up to any one of those, open the cover, and just dump in like biological weapons. And the city itself will collect that as part of the sewage, and it will distribute that weapon all across the city and on the farms and the food crop lands and the city parks and everything else. The city will do the distribution for you. And that situation exists right now, today. That is real. I've covered it in my film, Biosludged. It's at biosludged.com. So that's just one threat that exists out there, and there are many other threats. I also mentioned in my article how one time when I was purchasing lab equipment for my analytical laboratory, I purchased it from Michigan State University that had some used equipment on sale on their website. And I purchased this analyzer. I don't remember. It was like some kind of heavy metals analyzer. And they shipped it to me, and I noticed that there was mercury that had spilled all in the shipping box, which of course freaked me out. Since I know that mercury is highly toxic, I opened up the instrument and it was full of liquid mercury. I don't know how much was in there. Just from memory, I'm thinking maybe half a liter. I don't know. But mercury is very potent. And that's enough mercury to poison the Los Angeles water supply. And Michigan State University shipped that to me without me even wanting to buy mercury. They shipped it to me via UPS. I did a big story about that. They later apologized. We got that whole situation cleaned up. But if I can accidentally buy a weapon of mass destruction, imagine what a determined terrorist could do if they wanted to. How much mercury could they buy? Or hexavalent chromium or other toxic chemicals that can poison entire water systems. And guess what? The LA water treatment system does not remove those chemicals. Did you know that? Mostly they just take out the particulate matter and then they throw in a bunch of chlorine to kill bacteria. That's pretty much it. If you drink that stuff, you're kind of suicidal to begin with, but it could be a lot worse thanks to these terror cells. Terror cells could also target food distribution hubs and cause food shortages. They can cause fuel shortages. Some of these groups have mortars, probably. I mean, I guess I don't have proof that they have mortars, but that's been widely assumed because mortars are pretty easy to smuggle in, and there have been cases of mortars being found in packages, you know, by border patrol and everything. So mortars, of course, can take out refineries. Mortars are, I mean, even like old World War II, like a 60-millimeter mortar can take out a refinery or take out an office building. Can you imagine you're at work one day and then freaking mortars start raining down? That could happen in America now. The war is being brought to our soil. The war is at our doorstep. And now, the powers that be, they know that Iran is going to respond to this assassination, which was sort of the equivalent as if some foreign nation had assassinated our Secretary of State, for example. So there will be a response. The response is coming. It might take weeks. It might take months. But it's coming this year. And it's going to target U.S. installations overseas. We know that for sure, but we better also be ready for them to target soft targets in America, the things that I just mentioned. Now, at the same time that all this is going on, it's crucial to know that the average American has zero preparedness for any of this. The average American has no combat training. The average American doesn't know how to use a tourniquet, you know, to stop bleeding of an extremity. The average American has never taken a combat medic course. The average American doesn't even know how to run a pistol, much less a rifle. The average American doesn't have stored food. The average American doesn't own a water filter. So you have a population that is complacent. America, since World War II, the greatest generation, and I know there are exceptions to this, and I'll point those out, but by and large, as a culture, America has become lazy and pathetic, too comfortable. Everything's too easy, especially the young kids today. Their whole world is online. It's all Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat. That's not even reality. And they have no skills in the real world. You ask them to change a tire, they're like, "What? I can't change the tire. They're snowflakes. Don't even know how to sharpen a pencil." They don't know what a pencil is. What's a pencil? You know, like, I'm okay, maybe that's a slight exaggeration, but they've never used one. They don't know. And so they have no real world skills. Our country is vulnerable to these attacks on our infrastructure because our people have become complacent. There aren't a lot of Americans who have done, for example, what I have done, you know, thousands of hours of combat, tactical training on multiple firearms platforms, hand-to-hand combat, combat medic training, emergency medicine, you know, all these things. Now, the people who are most prepared for this, so let me give a shout out to those who are firefighters, frontline police officers, veterans, anybody who's been overseas, who has served on even just one tour, they know more about reality than the average American, for sure. I have great respect for veterans. A lot of my friends are veterans. Also, EMTs, you know, emergency medics, people like that, first responders. They know what's up because they have seen that with their own eyes. They know more about reality in America than the average American. Like a police officer, after you've responded to 50 domestic violence wife-beating incidents, your perception of humanity changes. After you have found people dead with heroin needles in their arms or been in a firefight with a bunch of drugged up gangbangers wielding AK-47s, your view of reality changes. And that's why cops and SWAT members and so on, they have a more accurate view of how crazy the world gets when law and order collapses. So there are certain people in society that have a mindset and a skill set. And by the way, sometimes, you know, truckers, I put truckers in this category. Truckers have a tough life of living on the road. They have to solve problems. It's very physical. Believe it or not, trucking is more physical than you might imagine. Truckers have to adapt. They've been all over the country. Truckers are survivors. And you ask any trucker, if you're not a survivor, you won't even make it as a trucker. Because the stuff they deal with is also pretty insane. So, you know, that group has the mindset of what it takes. But the average American, working a desk job, oh, I'm a librarian, school teacher, government administrator, graphic designer, whatever. These are cushy jobs, frankly. You know, even my job is a cushy job. If I didn't do all this extra training, I wouldn't have those skills. I could just sit behind a desk all day and publish articles. That's just not who I am. I find that too boring. But a lot of people are desk jockeys, and that's what they do. And there are even people inside the police force, for example, that are just desk jockeys, or even in the military, they're desk jockeys. If you're sitting on your butt 8 hours a day, you're probably not prepared. So the average American doesn't have the mindset and they don't have the gear. They don't own water filters. They don't have storable food. The reason I point all this out is because those people are going to panic. Those people, the non-prepared people, are going to cause the second wave of chaos as they freak out because they did not prepare. They thought, oh, the tap water is always going to work. The electricity is always going to function. The banks will always work. I can always go to the ATM. I don't need food in my pantry. I can always swing by McDonald's or whatever. Those people are going to panic. And so they're going to become a second wave of threats to civil society. And if you are living in and amongst the unprepared, then you have exposed yourself to a much higher risk factor than you otherwise need to. You have placed yourself in danger. Even if you have stuff that you need, oh, you have a water filter, and you have a backup water supply, and you have food, and you have a pistol, and you know how to use it, you are still surrounded by the masses of the unprepared, or what we sometimes call in tactical training, the zombie horde. And you know why they're called zombies? Because after about 3 days of starving, they lumber around aimlessly looking to feed, and they can't really fight. They can't think clearly. I mean, what American do you know that has ever gone 3 days without food? I mean, drive by the Golden Corral buffet one day if you want to see a bunch of human hogs feeding at the trough, okay? Just to put it bluntly, I've eaten there too, which is how I know that, because it's like, oh my God, is this pig's food? Is this pig's food? I'm pretty sure this is food for pigs, like actual swine, you know? Like, there's 40 different ways to eat high fructose corn syrup. Wow, that's amazing. And GMOs. But the average American has never gone 3 days without food. They've never done fasting, even for 16 hours. You know how badly they're going to freak out when they start starving and how they're going to panic? And at first they're going to tell themselves, well, the government will solve this problem. FEMA's coming. They're going to hand out bottled water and food. That's great. You can tell yourself that for a day or two. And then at some point, people figure out, well, guess what? FEMA's not coming. There's not enough food to go around. Things are bad. Infrastructure's failed here. We're going to have to fend for ourselves. Guess what happens then? Especially when 911 doesn't work and all the cops have gone home to protect their families. What happens then? The gangs come out in full force. Suddenly, it's open field, open season on the citizens. The gangs have the firepower. They've got the weapons because all you gun control idiots gave up your rifles and handguns because you wanted to comply with the laws of peace. And so you gave up your guns, but the criminals didn't. Imagine that. The criminals didn't give up their guns. You mean to tell me that criminals are not law-abiding citizens? They didn't follow the gun control laws? Whoa, I never could have imagined that. So the criminals will have all the guns. The cops have gone home. And now there you are trying to fend for yourself and protect your water filters, storable food, whatever you got. And even if you have a pistol, how many rounds of ammo do you have for it? When was the last time you cleaned it? Did you check the sights? Does it have a red dot? Is the battery still good? That's why I don't use red dots on pistols, by the way. I just use iron sights with like optics, like light channeling optics, light tubes, and glow-in-the-dark tritium. What about your rifle? Oh, you don't have one? Oh, guess what? You're kind of screwed because the pistol's not going to get you very far. 9mm, the only point of having a handgun is so you can make it to your rifle. You're not going to be able to fight very effectively with a pistol. You got to have a rifle. And in a lot of places in America, it's not even legal to have one. Like L.A., I mean, not the kind that you really need. You know, full-blown semi-auto, 30-round mag AR. Not even legal anymore. You gotta have all these weird add-ons and buttons and limitations and like, retarded magazines and things. How are you supposed to fight off the zombies with a 10-round mag? That doesn't make any sense. So I could go on and on about examples here, but you get the point. If you're in a city like that, if you're living in a gun-controlled city, and the terror cells activate and they start taking down the power grid, you're either going to have to like go dig up your illegal rifle that you buried in the yard. Yeah, I know you did. Or you're going to have to walk around basically crippled in the self-defense category because you don't have the hardware to fight off the aggressors who will have open season. So what's the answer to this, the real answer? And I know I'm being blunt, but hey, we're in a war now. I think you don't want me to hold back the analysis here. I'm not trying to be politically correct. You may have noticed. But the answer is don't be in the city when it hits the fan. Don't be living in there. If you're not there, guess what? You can't get hit by a suicide vest. If you're not in the cafe that they bomb, you can't get hit by a mass shooting if you're not in the crowd. If you're living out in the country somewhere, you are physically isolated from this event. And the only thing you have to deal with in the country is the masses of city people streaming out of the cities, trying to seek food and so on. And there are other strategies to deal with that. The farther away you get, the better. Sooner or later, people will run out of gas, by the way, which limits their ability to egress the city to biking distance or walking distance, which frankly, for the average American is not very far. Average American can't walk 10 miles. I mean, I've had days where I walk more than 10 miles, but that's just me. Maybe that's why I keep wearing out all these shoes, by the way. I go through shoes like crazy. Like my monthly budget for shoes is like $100. It's insane. I think I'm walking too much. But the average American can't walk 10 miles. Some people can't walk a mile. How are they going to do in this scenario? Not very well. So this was my point. Wherever you are, whatever you're thinking, it's not just about having the preps, not just about having the mindset. It's about not being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I know most of our readers have taken steps to move out of the real urban areas, and good for you. I know a lot of people who have done that because they've told me. And there are other reasons, such as biological weapons and spread of pandemics and the risk of financial collapse and so on. But this is a whole new reason, and this is here now. Trump just activated World War III. Again, I don't care what you think about Trump's decision. Oh, it was good or it was bad. The neocons want war with Iran, Bolton, whatever. That's a different podcast. No matter what you think about it, he did it. It's here now. And Iran will activate every terror cell they can. So we are about to find out how many terror cells they have in this country. And I don't know the answer to that. It's probably dozens. Maybe some of them get caught. Maybe some of them stop themselves, or maybe they get stopped by a good guy with a gun. Maybe the FBI actually does its job and stops some of these terror plots instead of running their own terror plots, which is what the FBI usually does. Maybe we get lucky the FBI does its job. But I'm not counting on that. I'll tell you one thing. I'll just say this, and I think I speak for a lot of Texans, a lot of Americans, and probably share this view with veterans and cops and so on. I don't go out looking for trouble, but if I see terror cells trying to destroy our infrastructure, poison our water, blow up food distribution hubs, if I have a chance, I will take them out as a citizen of America. Again, not going to go out looking for it, but if I encounter it, I'm not going to hesitate. I'll explain it to the feds later. Yeah, these terrorists were trying to drop a bomb into this building, whatever. I took them out. Yep. I'm not going to dial 911 and wait. I'm going to take them out. But then again, I'm probably not even going to be there because I don't go into the cities for all the obvious reasons. So the odds of me encountering these bad people is slim to none. But nevertheless, this mindset is the mindset of real Americans and real Texans, by the way, and Idahoans and, you know, real Americans, people all over the country who have this mindset, Virginians. We're going to have to defend our nation. And this is not even the greatest threat to our nation. There's a far greater threat from Silicon Valley and the censorship and the violation of civil rights by the tech giants. And I wish Trump would do something to stop them. Not launch hellfire missiles, but issue new regulations, you know, set free speech free. Make America free again. Why you got to spend all this effort bombing people over in Iraq when we've got problems right here at home? You got evil Google, evil Facebook, evil Twitter banning people because they have conservative views. Those are the real enemies of America right there. They're harming more Americans than the Soleimani guy ever dreamed of. The real terrorists are in Silicon Valley. But that's not who Trump is targeting. He's done nothing to stop the domestic enemies that are right here in America right now, which include Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and the New York Times and all these other treasonous traitors. That's the real enemy right there. But no action against them. Not even regulatory action or fines or arrests of the CEOs for carrying out crimes against America. Nope. They seem to have legal immunity. Instead, just launching missiles at Iranians in the Middle East. Well, what do you think is going to happen, Mr. Trump? Iran is going to strike back, and America is vulnerable. The power grid is vulnerable. People are vulnerable. The people are weak, for the most part. So there you go. That's the scenario. I know you're not weak. I know you're strong-minded. I know you're probably more prepared than almost everybody you know. I know that you're concerned, as I am. I know that you've taken steps to try to protect the safety of yourself, your family, your children or grandchildren. So you're probably going to be a lot better off than most people. But you will suffer disruptions too, as will I. That's why I didn't do this to plug this, but even in our own store, healthrangerstore.com, we have been shifting from the number 10 cans of stored food to these mini buckets, which are these polyethylene buckets. They're like small buckets. They're easier for people to lift. And I was telling my wife, we got to order a bunch of lentils and instant black beans in mini buckets ourselves. Because I'm looking at my own food storage, and I'm like, I don't think this is sufficient. Maybe that's just me, because I'm really into prepping. I mean, I've got plenty of oats. You know, I've got plenty of dried jerky, even natural jerky. I've got all kinds of food, but I don't feel like I've got enough lentils and black beans and need to store more olive oil. I've got plenty of honey stored because it's also a first aid item. I've got Manuka honey, like probably thousands of dollars worth of Manuka honey that I've stockpiled because that stuff lasts a century And it's the ultimate barter item, more valuable than gold, by the way, in a first aid scenario. So I've got all kinds of stuff. I've been making colloidal silver gel, you know. I've got like 5 gallon buckets of colloidal silver gel that I made myself, because that's one of our products. So I've literally got, I don't know, 20 gallons of colloidal silver here, gel, like first aid gel, and I can make more. And that's a barter item too. So, you know, I'm into prepping too, but even I'm looking at the situation like, we better get some more lentils. Oh, and by the way, here's something funny. I've got pallets of salt. And we had a couple pallets that, you know how salt likes to absorb water? So we've got salt, like a pallet of salt weighs something like 3,000 pounds. It's crazy. And a couple of these pallets, the salt absorbed too much water because it's just been sitting there for too long. And we didn't have the humidity down low enough. So we can't sell that salt anymore. So I took it. You know, I moved it to my place. I'm sitting on something like 6,000 pounds of salt. Now, is that a barter item? Heck yeah. You can salt meat, you know, to preserve it. You know, people need salt in food. You can use salt in various recipes, all kinds of stuff. So I'm sitting on like thousands of pounds of salt. And of course, all the typical firearms and ammunition you might expect since I'm a Texan. But there's still some stuff that I need to shore up in my own supplies, given what's happening, given the disruptions that might come down. And I don't want to live without electricity, not even for a short time. So I've got an old EMP-proof tractor with a PTO generator and 1,000 gallons of diesel. So I can run off that tractor. I can power electricity on any given day, you know, for months off of that. So I could use that electricity to make colloidal silver. I could use electricity to charge mobile devices or, you know, things like that. So I've actually got a plan. I've got things in place. And most people don't have anything that I just mentioned. None of that stuff. And by the way, I've played around with generators and everything, and the PTO generator on a tractor is by far the best solution, and it's mobile. So PTO means power takeoff, and all tractors have a PTO connection. And you put a generator right there, and you can generate like 50 kilowatts with the right generator. It's not even very expensive because the tractor is your engine. And you just fuel that tractor, and you got to buy an EMP-proof tractor. I like to buy John Deere tractors that are made in the 1970s. All metal, no circuit boards, no USB ports, no software updates required to start your damn tractor. I wouldn't buy a John Deere tractor today. Total garbage. You have to get software from the dealer to even start the tractor. And if they have an update, if you don't do the update, they won't let you start your tractor. Give me a break. Screw that. Buy one built in 1972. They're still good. I know. Because in Texas, you can find them. In any case, I'm getting off topic, but just trying to give you some very personal, very real things, like what I'm doing to prepare, what I'm doing to be ready. Sharing that with you because I want you to be prepared. I want you to be safe. And I know war is coming. War is coming. Have no illusions. Events have been set into motion that will bring it to our doorstep right here in America. And I would not be surprised if there's a bombing now, a suicide vest explosion, another 9/11. I don't know what it's going to be. Mass poisoning. I wouldn't be surprised now. It's all here. Yeah. And frankly, I'm not too happy with the president about what he's doing, what his priorities are. You know, again, the real enemies of America are being allowed to keep operating like Google while we're dropping bombs on people that, frankly, have little to do with day-to-day life in America. It just seems like another Clinton strategy to me, frankly. Pretty disappointed about that. But stay informed. I'll have more podcasts for you and more articles at naturalnews.com. Mike Adams here, Health Ranger. I'm going to send you prayers, and I accept your prayers for our mutual safety as we navigate what's going to be the craziest year of our lives. It's here, 2020, already started off with a level of insanity that we haven't seen for a long time. Get ready, and thank you for your support.
When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.